You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Schwab. On the 50th anniversary series of the Isaka Podcast, we're discussing some of the major topics that have impacted Isaka's global professional community over the past 50 years and that will continue to in the future. Today, we're talking about the evolution of mobile security with Eric Green, Global Head of Mobile Security at HSBC. Eric, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a bit about your background and, in particular, how you gravitated toward the mobile security area.
Sure. I just want to qualify, as I normally do with such things, that the views here are my personal views as opposed to that of my organization, just to put that out there. So mobile security, interesting as far as background goes. So I've been in cybersecurity just over 19 years, and I would say about 11 years ago, I was asked to join the board of a mobile startup by a gentleman called Win Schwartau. So those listening, I'm sure, know who he is. And he is, you know, an amazing friend, but great man in cybersecurity and particularly in security awareness and the like. So also information warfare and the like. So this happened to be an organization that had created a consumer-based email app for the iPhone, and we're sort of building around that. And Win, being Win, decided, wait a minute, this is an enterprise-grade product. Let's get Green on this, and, you know, bring him onto the board, and let's figure out how to turn this into an enterprise product. So that was circa 2009, sort of early days of when the enterprise idea, if you want to call it that, of mobile took place with the iPhone particularly. So jumped in it, and we built this product and got out there sort of trailblazers trying to turn this consumer device into an enterprise device, you know, fighting Apple all along the way. We worked with them. They worked against us. It was just a very interesting time early on. Mostly domestic customers I was dealing with, but we had an interesting international flair as well at the time. From the Android side, so that was iOS. I mean, we were literally, you know, in the early days, we were doing a Cyanogen mod of the Android Gingerbread operating system, completely locking it down for highly secure environments, government, you know, intelligence agencies and stuff like this. So I went through there and then sort of grew from there, and we grew the product. And eventually, as we expanded into different, you know, finance, healthcare and things like this, we actually integrated the product, and my interest became detection, because no one was really doing detection properly in the mobile space, really. And so we integrated with the detection, you know, detection solution, which actually ended up buying the product. And so we had this mobile detection product as well as mobile security and then detection for networks. And so I went from there. But yeah, super early days, lots of crazy stories. I could go on for yonks about some of the nutty things that went on over the years.
How has mobile security evolved the most during your time in the industry?
So let me qualify that, right? So first of all, more people care. That's like a blanket statement, because when we started in mobile security, no one cared. Like, we had very specific organizations who were like, yeah, that's a problem we have. And other people were just like, they were using these devices, they're fine, it's not our problem. So more people care, not enough, but more people care. So that's a big change, right? So organizations are listening, people want to get involved and the like. The product companies, ironically, haven't changed. So they're marketing companies. If you look at people who are claiming they're doing mobile security, they're doing mobile management, and they're basically giant marketing companies selling management and still not really doing the security they need to be doing. So that evolution that I've been waiting for, that we've been waiting for, it didn't really fully happen the way we hoped it would happen. I would love to say that, you know, Apple is really for the enterprise, but I don't know if you saw, like, their announcement of 13 that's coming out. There's barely anything about enterprise. Everyone keeps on, every new operating system waits for the big shoe to drop. We're going to get all these great new enterprise things. There's all these APIs, they throw them at you, and they say, good luck, hopefully you can do something with it. Detection, app scanning, and app monitoring, like, that piece of mobile is getting there. So we're starting to see organizations, both vendors as well as, you know, people buying product, that are understanding that there are threats, there are things we need to be worried about. We need to be doing scanning, we need to be looking at the apps, and we need to also be doing detection all across these devices, primarily on Android, but certainly on iOS also. That's a change, and that's a change that we've started to see over the last really 2 to 3 years. The products have been there for 5 to 6 years, but people haven't given a, you know, a hoot about it, but now more so they do. Forgive my cynical, I've been in this for 11 years. That's where my cynicism comes from.
You noted that more people are starting to care about mobile security. Why is it so important that that is the case, whether it's enterprise leaders or even the public?
Yeah, so it's funny. I have a good friend or, you know, a colleague who his favorite line is, no one cares about mobile security. So he'll say that every single day, and it's quite funny, you know. And to a degree, there are certain people that are still that way. But as I've said, more and more are. So in this field, why is this so important? Well, iOS and Android, forget about what I said about enterprise, right? The operating systems with every single release are getting richer and richer in functionality. So there's so many different uses for these things, and the productivity that for enterprise, I mean, if it can be used, fantastic. For consumers, it's like mind-blowing. I mean, you have these cameras that would have cost, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's part of your phone, and sophisticated recording equipment, all of these amazing feature-rich functionality things that are there. Therefore, it's much more widespread. And so complexity breeds, you know, insecurity, right? And that's just the way it works. The more complex, the less secure. And so there's more to deal with. So from our perspective in the mobile security standpoint, these things are great, but they're every new API, every new piece of kit that goes with these devices is something that we have to secure. From the enterprise standpoint, that's something we have to be very careful about. And at the end of the day, my job, our job as practitioners, my job is not to say no. And it's my brother's a physician. He says the same thing. My job is to say yes, but yeah, we can do this. But to get there, here's what we have to do. And so for consumers, I would say the same thing. It's look for ways to make sure you're protecting your environment. So what do I care about? There are all kinds of vulnerabilities that we know are constantly released or out there every day, right? But weekly, whatever. So patch, patch, patch. Like always make sure you do your updates. Always patch. And Android can be difficult because carriers globally, for those who are listening that are globally in different countries, I know that the carriers don't release your patches on time, even though Google wants them to, but keep an eye on them and make sure you do those updates because those are critical and they help protect your environment as you're using these devices like you would on a desktop. I am a big advocate, as I've said before, I'm biased because I was in this world on detection. Whether you're a consumer and you can buy inexpensive detection products that you can put on your device just to keep an eye on the apps and think about what's out there, you should be doing that. Enterprises absolutely need detection on their mobile devices. And, you know, whether it's iOS or Android, both there's reasons to be using detection, keeping privacy in mind. You have to be careful. And there's a lot of sort of intricacies in where you can put that detection and what it can see on people's devices. You know, bring your own device becomes somewhat tricky. For both, I mean, there's a changing dynamic on the enterprise side, but for consumers, again, worldwide, I would say if you're really serious and you're worried about stuff, which you should be, get a personal VPN. I mean, for under $50 a month, you can get up to 5 licenses. You can stick it on your kid's device, your laptop, and it's a VPN because every Wi-Fi hotspot is a rogue Wi-Fi hotspot. I can buy this cheap. I have this little, you know, nano device that I can do man-in-the-middle attacks all day long, right? The pineapple nano, the mini little pineapple, that's Wi-Fi pineapple. It's so easy to intercept communications, and people do it all the time. And the only way to really protect against that properly is VPN. So I think that the public needs to be aware of this. I don't think there's enough awareness. I was talking to a bunch of people recently, and I got this, like, well, why don't we know about this? I'm like, well, I really don't know, but we're not doing a good enough job, we being the security space, to get people to start thinking about these things. So I would put that out there. So advice also, downloading apps, right? There's 2 app stores in this world, right? The Google Play Store and the Apple Store. Anything else, you shouldn't be touching. And if you are and you're not running detection, you're crazy because all kinds of bad things happen with these apps. And even if you're looking at apps in the Play Store and the Apple Store, think about the providence of those apps. If it doesn't look like right, it's probably not right. Everyone wants Angry Birds. I remember when a version of Angry Birds, which was spoofed, was put out, and it was an amazing farming experiment. Not experiment. It was actually bad people doing bad things of getting usernames and passwords. Because guess what? When you download an app, if you need a username and password, I would guarantee, depending on the app, you're probably using that username and password many other places. And so these are just a few things to, you know, to think about, but it's a hot topic. It's an important topic because people are doing more and more with these devices.
A recent Frost & Sullivan report on mobile security described the importance of breaking down barriers between mobile security and traditional security deployments. Why do those barriers exist, and what can be done to address them?
Yeah, so this keeps circling back to my initial topic of people really don't care, right? So again, if you look at an example of, like, let's look at an enterprise, and would an enterprise let laptops and PCs get on the network from any connection they want with no VPN, no antivirus, no anti-malware, nothing, right? So whatever, into the network, whether the network's flat or it's got access control, forget about that for a minute. There's no other security controls, no problem, come on in, you're all good. Of course not, right? Organizations, when they hear that, are like, oh my gosh, are you crazy? Meanwhile, certainly at the beginning when we had mobile devices come in, and to a certain degree now, everyone's basically saying, well, why can't I do this with my mobile device? Why can't I do that? I want to access this. I want to access that. Well, okay, you've got no antivirus. You've got, no anti-malware on there. You're probably not using a VPN, and yet you want access to the traffic that normal networks push out. And so there's this missync between the people who manage network and network security and us in the mobile field doing mobile and mobile security, because never the two shall meet properly. Yeah, we're coming onto their network and all this kind of stuff, but we're not doing any of the kind of controls that are out there, which is why this whole business of, like, well, we need to protect the perimeter. What perimeter? I mean, I was publishing books. I didn't even get into that years ago. And we had all these chapters in these books on the perimeterless environment. Back in 2003, we were talking about the lack of perimeter. It's now 2019. There is no perimeter. So we can't do security on the device. Like, how are we going to do it? And it's got to be on the other side. So it's got to be on the network, whether it's in the cloud or whatever. We have to inspect traffic, and we have to do some sort of remediation based on that inspection, on that side. And my opinion is network security, mobile security, and for that matter, IT across the board need to be partnered to make this successful, because traditional security will not work in a world of APNS, right? Apple Push Notification Service. How does your PC do that? If your PC went and every 4 minutes went and talked to Dell, the Dell PC, or HP, so we can mix brands, or whatever, to do what it needs to do, your network security people would go crazy. Well, APNS, every Apple mobile device talks to Apple every 4 minutes. Trust me, we were doing VPN, and we used to try and put that stuff in the VPN tunnel, and it would actually freeze the phone. Well, same thing for Google Cloud Management. Google does the exact same thing, always constantly talking to Google with the Android devices. So it's a totally different dynamic, and it needs to be addressed. It can be secure. There's a lot that can be done, but it's not the same, and it can't be treated the same.
I think you've probably touched on a few already, but what are some additional mobile security specific considerations that organizations sometimes fail to take into account?
First thing I'm going to say is encryption. So what do you mean? Because encryption can mean lots of different things. Well, back in the day, I don't remember how many years ago, both iOS and Android said, hey, we're doing, FIPS level, full device encryption on the hard drives of the devices, which is great, right? Because having that level of encryption for a full device is fantastic. But it doesn't matter if you have, like, five critical apps and three personal apps or non-critical apps that are all occupying the same encryption area. You need per app encryption. If you can't encrypt individually within the containers of your apps, it doesn't even matter, because you can have, all kinds of cross-site things going on between apps corrupting themselves in the same encryption area. So app-level encryption and just demanding of your providers of apps that they have individual app encryption, this nonsense that, well, Apple already takes care of that, don't fall for it. I think that's critical from the enterprise standpoint. Certificate pinning, right? So pinning is you're associating a host with a certificate or key, right? So once the public key is known for a host, the certificate and public key are pinned to the host so that that device has that certificate and it's pinned to it so it can come into your environment and it's a secure connection based on certificate pinning. And that's, again, that's an app level thing. So your app creators, the people who are doing apps for you, for that matter, Microsoft, you have to make sure that that's there. Encryption for data in motion, VPN, whether you're talking IPsec or TLS 1.2 or whatever, you need to be looking at data in motion encryption as well. I think detection is key. There's on-device detection. There's a whole bunch of companies that do that, which I think are worthwhile because they're also doing inspection elsewhere. But at the same time, detection is useless without proper remediation. So when you're testing some sort of detection products out there, you need to understand what your threats are. And it's very tricky in the privacy aspect when it comes to, you know, personal devices and things. But how do you go deal with detection on those devices? What are you looking for? And make sure remediation is there. And then I stated before patching and updates, I can't understate how important that is. You know, we always talk about fragmentation. I use a slide whenever I present, you know, and something like a new operating system for iOS, you know, for Apple iPhone devices, something like 85 to 90% or 86%, some crazy number, update like within like a week or two. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. If you turn to Android, I mean, there's probably 4,500, 5,000 different operating systems because there's a different build for every carrier, for every device that's out there. And there are people still operating, you know, and four and below operating systems. And the percentage of users in the latest operating system is under 30%. So the fragmentation is unbelievable. And the patching is so critical that for an enterprise, it really needs to be mandated. Again, from the international aspect, what I'll say internationally for those who are listening, Google's done a really good job, and I'm actually having a meeting with those guys, you know, upcoming, and with Android, making sure they update as quickly as they can. They've done a really good job of partnering with hardware providers, and they have this Android Enterprise Recommended list, you know, not to pitch anything, but this is a good approach where they take, I'm not going to get into the details, but you can go look it up. They take more care with these devices around patching and shelf life and all these kinds of things. The problem remains the carriers, because the carriers, at the end of the day, are the ones finally releasing those latest updates and patches, which in the U.S., when it comes to the T-Mobiles and the Verizons, the AT&Ts and stuff like that, of course, they're going to be operating fairly quickly with those patches. But you can literally be in various countries throughout the world and be 6 to 8 months out of patch, even though your device needs a patch and you want a patch, you can't get the patch because your provider, the carrier, doesn't push that patch. And that's just the way it works right now. And it's very difficult for Google to deal with that. But it's something, you know, to think about, because you're very vulnerable. Every patch that comes out has critical updates for various CVEs and the like. So those are my little long-winded bit of advices that are out there.
How do organizations bring your own device policies factor into all of this?
So our old saying, which isn't funny anymore because everyone's taken it over, was always bring your own disaster, right? What's BYOD? It's bring your own disaster. And to a certain degree, that hasn't changed. In the old days, the people who took on mobile security in enterprises were hyper secure. So it was kind of easy for us to say and them to say, tough luck, you're not using your own device. It's only corporate devices. And we're fully locking them down. Well, not anymore, right? So just people who are out there on enterprises, you need to have a philosophy. And the philosophy is everybody who owns a device has bad stuff on it, period. They've downloaded apps. Who knows if there's, maybe there are keyloggers on there. Who knows what's on their devices? But at the end of the day, their personal side of their personal devices, you can bet it's got bad stuff on it. I would say the same thing about laptops, frankly. So then, therefore, your goal is to make sure that you have good defense. So in other words, enough barriers in place, at whether you're containerizing or whatever you're doing on the corporate side, let's say you're using Android Enterprise Container or whatever, that your perimeter within the device is there to try and keep the bad stuff from getting in that might be on the private side. And then, you know, detection and remediation tools for when they do, so that you can actually detect bad things going on, noting that you need to preserve user privacy and this notion of putting detection and understanding the apps on the private side of the device and all of those kinds of things. I'm a paranoid security guy, and even I recognize there's a huge issue there. These need to be considerations as you're looking at mobile. Security, awareness, education, some people scoff at it. It's incredibly important. I personally, during, you know, October Cybersecurity Awareness Month, I'll be doing a whole bunch of mobile security type presentations because I think it's really important. I used to go to my kids' schools and do that too, but from the corporate standpoint, it's really important. The flip side of this is you as an organization need to make sure in your education, people need to realize that using their personal device for corporate work is a privilege, right? This isn't like they're given, they can do this because they deserve it or something, right? It's a privilege. And so they need to adhere to certain guidelines. And so I go back to my discussion around patching and updates and devices. You need to have a very good list of devices. If you want to say iOS, fine. That's a good sort of, if you can control iOS devices and you want them to be able to use those, terrific. But can make sure that they're patched and make sure that they're updated. When it comes to Android, I would think through the process of what devices you even allow BYOD, you know, bring your own device within your organization, users to use. And you want to base that on updates and patches and the like, because you want a device that's going to be supported as long as it can, 2-3 years, and that the patches are good for those 2-3 years, and that they're done on a frequent basis, which, you know, is frankly monthly for the most part with patching, you know, with Android. So BYOD, it's happening, and there's no way around it, but you just need to think through the process.
So we're drawing near to the dawn of a new decade. What are some trends you envision playing out in this space in the 2020s?
So first, I just want to suggest that we've all failed. And so we need to correct that. We as an industry, and it's across the industry in general, but certainly within mobile, have not all done what it is that we need to do to make sure that these consumer devices that everyone wants on our network are being used properly, are being protected properly, and frankly, are being used to their maximum. So many organizations are still using, you know, Exchange, right? Outlook and the like, and that's about it. So that's just a broad statement. We are now starting to see, you know, we started with only corporate devices, moved to BYOD. Well, brace yourself, because unmanaged devices are like on their way. So what's that mean? Nothing's on it. They can take their own device, you know, go through a portal and magically get stuff from the network, whether it's email, other tools, CRM, take your pick. It's coming. I mean, I'm already seeing it coming all over the place and across industries. And so I think that's going to be something that's going to be very serious that we're going to need to have to deal with going forward. So again, this is not like a lightning bolt for anybody, but cloud everything, Office 365, AWS, Google Cloud, right? So, I mean, we're back to the old days of the mainframe. So we've got this dumb device. Now it's got a lot of cool apps and stuff, but it's pretty dumb because it's using the cloud for all communications, data exchange, and a lot of the apps are in the cloud as well. And so we're back to this sort of client-server relationship, only it's like mobile device cloud. So we need to sort of remember and start to think back how we did security for those. I mean, we should sit down with the IBM mainframe people and really, like, you know, start plotting how they did it so well, with the slight change that these devices also talk to the people who own the operating systems, which is quite the twist. IoT continues to grow. This sort of like notion that wearables are going to be this huge issue across enterprises and we need to be looking at, I'm just not seeing it. So is IoT there? You know, Internet of Things is here. People are worried about cars and all this kind of stuff. As an enterprise mobile security guy, I could really care less what happens in your car, frankly. Am I worried about someone hacking your phone while you're in your car? If I'm doing 80 miles an hour, not that I speed, but if I did, and someone figured out a way to pull up next to me and like capture my Bluetooth because I'm using it in the phone, they deserve it. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about those things. Most, and I say most in quotes, watches and other wearables, frankly, they still connect in through your mobile device to get most of what they need to get done. So if I'm protecting your mobile device, generally speaking, I'm protecting most of the IoT pieces that are going in there. So the demand from enterprises, and I think I said this before, is we want these mobile devices, everything we do on a computer, I want to do on my phone or on my tablet or whatever, everything. And so that's going to increase. And we're going to increasingly be faced with senior executives or VPs or whoever that are wanting to do more with these devices. So we're going to have to think that through. And the final statement here is the bad guys are profiting and they're sitting there licking their chops. Like everything that I just said, they're all licking their chops for everything that's going on because it's setting up, you know, more perfect storms for them to be able to do what it is that they do best.
All right, Eric, thank you for being with us today on the ISACA podcast.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That's our program for today. For more on ISACA's 50th anniversary, visit www.isaca50.org.